Welcome one and all to the show. I'm Jose Mota, Certified Executive Coach from the Center for Coaching Certification. I speak about cognitive skills like leadership, communication, teamwork, iterative and adaptive methodologies, emotional intelligence, and coaching. Visit www.josemota.net to get your free coaching call or email me at podcast@josemota.net. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, how's it going? I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. Today I'm taking a bold move. I'm recording this podcast without a script. Specifically, what it means is I usually tend to write a whole script and just read it out loud. It takes a lot of time to prepare, but this time I'm feeling a little bit different. I just want to go out of the gut with just a few basic key points in front of me. Today I want to explore this idea of a product manager. What is the role of a product manager? Many people think they know what he or she is and what they do, and I want to clarify some of those things. Let's start by understanding what a product manager is, then we'll go with what they do, then who they interact with and how a little bit. We're then going to go with a couple of questions that I've been asked before in front of other product managers, such as how to establish trust, how to deliver what to deliver, and what is the relationships between a product manager and their teams, and also what kind of influence they exert to achieve those results. All right, let's start from the very beginning. A product manager is a person who holds the vision of the product. They're not scribes, they don't write user stories if they don't have to. The essential idea of a product manager is that they know where the product should go, what kind of customer problems overall should be solved. Not specific ones, because they usually go about every now and again through iteration, through feedback, that sort of thing. Those customer problems are dealt with by the time they come up. But overall, there is a strategy, and that strategy is conceived to meet the vision. It's based on solving customer problems while meeting business goals. This is very important. A lot of people understand that product managers should just blindly follow what business stakeholders tell them to. While it might be like that on the surface, it really doesn't work like that. And I want to clarify that just a little bit. The idea behind business stakeholders coming to a product manager is to influence the decision-making process to a point. There are positions and interests that need to be solved with a product manager that lead to better decision making. It's still the PM's choice. It's still the PM's decision. And it is influenced by external factors. Stakeholders' interests is one of those factors. The team's capability is also another influencing factor. And those decisions lead to maybe talking to human resources to hire more people. It may be to suggest training. Technical training, it might suggest more resources to reach out to customers better. It even might come to the point of just highlighting the necessity of talking to customers more directly, investing resources, time, energy, space to talk to customers, to find the problems with more precision so you can solve them better. The product manager leads the people and the teams to the vision through the strategy. And it's important that the product manager shows that vision, is present with everyone to share that. There have been many counts in my career as a product manager where people just don't know where they're going or why they're moving in that direction. The product manager's responsibility is to inspire these people with a purpose. The team then knows why they're doing the things they are doing, and it also, by consequence, influences what they do and how they do it. If you have a programmer or a designer or a team that's doing something with a direction, they might make decisions that otherwise, if left untold, would be different. And this is very important to understand, both on the product manager's part and on the team's part. I hope this helps you understand the role of a product manager. It is the same essentially as a product owner. There are companies and job ads that distinguish the two. They shouldn't, really. In the words of Ralph Joshim, one of my mentors, has told specifically that the product owner is essentially a product manager in today's world where iteration happens all the time and quick feedback loops exist. That's all there is to it. Now, what does a product manager do specifically? What are the actions, the activities, the interactions that they have? Well, a product manager essentially collaborates with product teams. That's most of the activity that they conduct with others. There are stakeholders too, of course. We talked about that just before. Stakeholders drive some sort of influence into the decision-making process because those factors may drive the product manager to go one way or another, slightly different, perhaps drastically different. And then those inputs, along with the team's inputs, they influence the ultimate decision-making, which is what features to build, what kind of customer problems are they solving, and so on and so forth. The collaboration happens through discovery. The product manager alone cannot make decisions. They need technical experts. They need experienced experts. And the product manager becomes the maestro of an orchestra. Ultimately, the maestro conducts the orchestra, and the orchestra ends up being the main actor. They play the piece. They do music. The maestro only indicates where and how to go about that masterpiece. So they need help from who's an expert in user experience. They need help with regulatory, if there's a need for that. They need help from the tech lead or the whole technical team, the engineers. Quality assurance, if that's also a necessity, and if the product manager requires the assistance of such a person, they all become part of the discovery process. Other key activities of a product manager is to analyze the results of the work being done. It's not just about building stuff. It's not it, far from it. That's only a piece of it. It may look like most time, energy, and money spent is on building stuff. That's absolutely for certain. And it's not enough. You need more than just building outputs and shipping them. You need to collect the reaction to what you build. There's a lot of effort for sure. And how do we measure the success of that effort? What's the impact? How to measure impact? Impact, that one is the ultimate performance indicator. It is the ultimate key result. Objectives of building something are not good enough. A good enough measure is, did we solve customer problem X? By how much? How many customers are using the feature that we're building for them? How much money is it generating for us? Are we successfully advertising those new features to new slices of the market? Are we selling those features well? Are we reaching out to the right market so they buy from us? That sort of thing is crucial for a product manager to conduct. And that also includes reaching out to customers. They are the ones who generate value for the company, not the company itself. It's like any other business. You are only valuable and profitable if customers value what you have to offer and actually get to buy, spend dollar bills. So the best way to go about it is to reach out to them directly, exploring customer problems, talking to them, explaining what the pain points are, what the benefits are they looking for, how efficiently can we do it. Ultimately, in the end, if you combine collaboration, analysis, market exploration, talking to customers, managing stakeholder expectations, in the end, it is your job as a PM to provide the clarity to everyone. The engineers must be aware of what stakeholders say. There's an impact in knowing what sales requires, what marketing requires, what the business itself requires, finance, legal, all of that stuff. By the same token, the engineers must also share their requirements, their expectations, their limitations, their information to all of the others too. Sales must know what engineering is up to, marketing as well. It's really a network of expectations. Combining those and sharing those becomes essential to a product manager to not only absorb, but to convey back. Let's move on to question number 3 that I've announced before, and that is, how do PMs interact with others? Who are they to begin with, right? There's three key parts. Customers, number 1, the team, number 2, and stakeholders, number 3. Most importantly, the customers are key, because you can connect with the team more often than not. Stakeholders, almost the same. But customers, they are the real most important segment of people to interact with. Because first of all, they're scarce. Even though you have tens of thousands of people maybe potentially using your product, the ones that are willing to talk to you, that's a whole different story. So finding ways to reach out to customers is crucial, very important, because that is the fodder from which you feed your decisions. Understanding their problems, understanding their needs, verifying that whatever solution we're offering as a team, as an initiative, is working. Are they using the solutions that we're giving them? Is the solution the right thing for them? Is there a tweak that we can offer them? Did we misread something from before? Did you talk to a customer one time, you got some feedback incorporated into the product, and it didn't turn out so well? Did you have the right conversations with them? That's key. And conveying that the right way with as little noise ratio as possible to both the team and the stakeholders, very important too. You interact with the team by providing clarity on what it is that's important. And notice that it's not features in specific, it's the reason behind those features. Because when you end up prescribing to the letter what teams should be doing, you risk losing a lot of potential creativity. A lot of power gets lost because you didn't tap into it. You didn't let go of what they can offer to the solution as a whole. You know about a lot of stuff because you talk to customers directly. And if you're a good product manager to begin with, you'll involve the team too. More ears listening to customers themselves. You might have a biased point of view towards what a customer is saying, a different lens maybe is a better term, and then someone that is more technical or is more focused on the user experience has a different lens, and they end up quote-unquote interpreting what the customer is saying a different way. Ultimately, in the end, you aggregate all of the different points of view, all the different lenses, and you converge all of them into a single proposition. Stakeholders are also very important to interact with because they influence the decision-making process, as I've mentioned before. They have important pieces of information. They let you know as a PM what kind of resources you have, what kind of resources you don't have, what kind of power and flexibility you have to make certain decisions. In the end, you're not paying these people. You're not generating enough value to them. You need to earn their trust. They will end up giving you more if you know how to establish trust, which comes right after this piece on who interacts with a PM. Actually, let's just jump right ahead. How does a PM establish trust? And there's an acronym actually that I've created that's called ATALAC. A-T-A-L-A-C, ATALAC. So let's start with the first one, accountability. Accountability means simply to deliver features that yield impact to customers. It's not just delivering features. We could be doing that all day, delivering mindless feature one after the other with maximum performance, maximum efficiency from the teams. If it doesn't yield impact, significant one, to customers, you're just playing around. So accountability is not only building the features, it's building the right features. And you do that actually through small experiments, but key experiments nonetheless. You start with a small investment, get that out to customers so that they can try it out and see if it works. And if it doesn't, go right to them and ask what happened. We listened to you, Mr. Customer. We've built something for you to validate. And now you're saying something different than we were expecting. What is the difference? What's the gap there? That's how you generate accountability. You deliver something that matters. Okay, letter number 2, transparency. You do that by exposing the data and the thinking process. Remember, you're talking to customers, you're talking to the team, you're talking to the stakeholders, you're trying to converge every single idea possible to generate value. Making that information transparent, making that process transparent is very important. I've had multiple instances where I had product managers who were very transparent and people trusted each other more. It allowed permeation. If someone from the team says, hey, actually, you're saying something like this, you're proposing something like this, why don't you consider this instead? That's the notion of transparency. It allows permeation of ideas to share through. Ultimately, you'll be able to make a decision regardless, even if it goes against it. But it is your responsibility as a product manager to absorb it, to exert gratitude towards whoever gave you such an idea. That's important to understand and to be thankful for. The person might not be very happy because they didn't follow that suggestion or you didn't follow the suggestion, but they'll understand it if you share the rationale behind your decision and if you ask questions about it. Leverage the idea through inquiry. It's not just saying, oh, thanks for the suggestion, I'll get back to you later. And then ultimately you don't pick it up. No, really justify the decision. Make the person feel heard and understood and actually feeling valued. That's really important too. It's better to justify a decision that went against their judgment, but with empathy, with care, with proper respect for the person. The least you can do is just tell her why you didn't make the decision that was based on their suggestion. That leads me to point number three, which is active listening. To consider everyone's input with empathy when making a decision. I just ran over that without even noticing. So bottom line, if you listen actively, you become more transparent. Not just by exposing how you think, it's exposing the thoughts themselves. And that's really important, and it generates trust. Letter number four, leadership. To positively influence everyone towards the vision without authority. This is very key because many people think that the product manager is the team's supervisor. Usually that's not how it works. There are different competencies or different skill sets or different organization branches, if you will. A product manager holds all the responsibility, none of the authority. That's on you, Nils Davis. Thank you for that suggestion. Really, really interesting. Product manager does not hold any authority to the people. They owe it to themselves to just exert active, positive influence. The team is responsible for making it. You are responsible for influencing it. Right? Make sense? You have the knowledge of what matters to be built. There's a really common phrase, which is building the right thing versus building the thing right. Building the thing right is up to the team, the engineers, the technical guys, the designers, the testers, the copywriters, marketing optimization experts, that sort of thing. You are in charge of building the right thing, finding the right thing. That goes through customer interviews, data from, you know, using the product. If you have proper technology, you'll be able to understand the behaviors, the patterns of what customers do around the product. And that gives you information to understand where gaps are and how you can go about them. Letter five, adaptability. I skimmed a little bit through that before, but essentially to build small. If you want to adapt to the market, adapt to the circumstances, build small. Take small risks, always with a strategy in mind, but make sure that you understand what agile means and what iteration means, what small risk assessment means, and fast feedback loops. When you build small, let's say every feature a week or something, you ship it out, you collect feedback, and you change based on a smaller thing. So picture this example. You're building a feature every week. Those features are rather small. The risk of building or changing or updating something that's small is, pardon the repetition, smaller. If you invest 3 whole months on building a really, really big feature, and it turns out that the feedback you got was wrong or led to a whole different direction, there goes 3 months instead of just a week. Talk about risk assessment, right? It's really better to just reduce the feedback loops to essentially spend less. That's it. So being adaptable means to reduce your decision-making process to small blocks. Ultimately, the final letter, collaboration, to work with everyone towards a solution, trusting their skill sets. Part of the transparency effort is to let go. I've talked about it just before. So to reiterate really summarily, when you collaborate, it means you let go. You focus on what your responsibility truly is, to find the right thing to build, to analyze the data, to talk to customers. Once you know what to build, what problem to solve, it's more on finding the problem, really. It's not the solution itself. Even if it's just a definition, right? You want to have both things, both the problem and the solution, somewhat explored. Leaning on the problem itself is actually a whole lot better, because you'll get a bigger, deeper, more meaningful understanding of what is that customer's value more. If I had that problem they want solved, you want to chase after it. You don't want to focus on a solution if you don't even know what the problem is. So go deep in the problem. You have so many people that want to build solutions. Go ahead and let yourself in to the problem. So ADALAC, accountability, transparency, active listening, leadership, adaptability, and collaboration. That's how a PM establishes trust. Remember, both to the team and stakeholders. In the end, you'll still want to have some sort of tangible effect. You want to make it certain that you're delivering something. But what is it really? There's so much discussion around outcomes versus outputs. And the reason for that is we're still making the same mistakes. We're still so focused on output building. At least most of the people that I work with, they're more focused around outputs than they are with outcomes. This is a clear sign of misunderstanding effort versus impact. When you commit to an effort, and by all means, this is a valid thing to invest on, making things more efficient, investing in people skills, investing on technical skills too, to maximize the effort that you put in or the value that you get out of the effort. If you reduce the effort, that's a good thing. But it doesn't really matter if you're not generating the right impact, measurable impact. There's qualitative impact and there's quantitative impact that you can measure, somewhat both of them. You can effectively measure what's quantitative by nature. You'll want to measure monthly recurring revenue. You'll want to measure the amount of users you have on your product. You want to measure churn rates, so maybe an understanding bounce rates if people are sticking to using your product. That sort of thing is good to understand and to analyze because it gives you an idea of the overall scenario from a numbers perspective. When you find gaps, that's when you go to qualitative evaluation. You go to customers. You reach out to them and say, hey, I'm noticing that you're running into an issue. Do you want to talk about it? Help us understand how we can make it better for you. That's basic customer service. Someone's unhappy with your product, you go out after them. And you tell them, I want to help you. What's wrong? So focusing more on the outcomes from a strategy perspective, more than outputs. It's not just disregarding outputs altogether. It's just that understanding what really matters gives you purpose. Effort is good, and it requires the perspective, the expectation, the impact. Last question I have for you is, how do you as a PM influence your teams to achieve results? How does it work, right? How do you find the right thing? How do you collaborate with your teams and your stakeholders to exert that sort of influence? There are a couple of techniques that I personally use, and probably this is something that you also do. And if you don't, or maybe you're not a PM and you interact with one, maybe bring these ideas to them and hopefully you'll get some idea of how to, you know, improve your practice with them, your relationships with them. One of the key aspects of being a product manager and collaborating as a PM with teams is to prioritize. That's a no-brainer. Everyone knows that, you know, if you're using Scrum or something or a Kanban, there's always something that is more important to accomplish than the other. Who does that? Who sets the precedent? Who sets the priority? It's the product manager. You might want to influence a product manager by giving inputs, by providing limitations, maybe in your technical skill set or time restraints or organizational impediments. A really good example is when you have so many processes at your company that you'll end up spending more time on them than actually getting work done. Bringing this over to the product manager is very important to understand if a decision needs to be made different. Let's say that a product manager decided to invest on a feature that you forecast to be 2 weeks. But then you'll say, you know, actually, Mr. PM or Mrs. PM, there's a need for us to perhaps reassess. We don't have 2 weeks. There's a special event at the company. There's all sorts of offsite training, or it's vacation time. It's summer. Everyone's on PTO. What are we going to do? We don't have that capability right now. Do you want to choose something different? Or do you want to break that 2 weeks feature into 3 less than a week features? How's that? This sort of input is really, really important to provide to product managers. Otherwise, they'll be left without choice. They'll be making the wrong choices, actually. So it's your responsibility as a member of the team to bring that up. Of course, with empathy and respect and with, you know, decorum, but ultimately just bringing it up, that's really important. Otherwise, the product manager won't be able to prioritize correctly. Another thing that I like to do is to use user story mapping and jobs to be done, both at the same time. Understanding what the customer goes through is key to understanding the problem first, and then mapping those problems or bits of the problem into solutions. A problem is never too small, and it's never too big. It's your job to break it down as much as you want to, as much as you find it valuable. Not just if you're a PM, but also from the perspective of a team member, to understand how to do a job, how to do a feature, how to build one, understand the various different components of what the customer goes through normally. You break that problem, and then you find solutions, and you map those solutions through user stories to the jobs to be done by those customers, to the problem space. I've used it a lot of different times, and it works like a charm, because not only the team understands what to do and they figure it out how to do it, they understand why. They put themselves in the customer's shoes, and that is brilliant. They know what to do, and they can micromanage their own time, their own energy, their own resources to focus on what really matters, because they know what the customer goes through. Another two very interesting artifacts or tools to use are the Bridges framework, created by Railsware, and the classical Pareto principle. So starting with the first one, Railsware came up with the Bridges framework to help understand the customer segments, what they want to benefit from using your product, what kind of issues they have, what kind of risks they might incur into, and map those into solutions. So I'll leave a link in the show notes about the Bridges framework. It's not that known in the product space, and I'll share that with you for you to consider. It is really eye-opening when you have a framework that allows you to understand the customer through their problems. You have a problem space and a solution space, and you map your solutions to the problem. And that sort of visualization through Bridges is so powerful, so simple to understand, and so effective. Ultimately, the Pareto principle, the last one, it's really just a fundamental heuristic for me, because it tells me what kind of effort am I willing to do first to yield the maximum output, or the maximum impact, rather. This should fill your entire day, every day, for as long as you work for your product. Always ask yourself, what is the minimum amount of effort that I can put in to yield the maximum amount of output? So many times, so often, I encounter teams that are trying to just do thing after thing after thing as a whole, a feature that has so many components, so many different parts, and they just go linearly from one point to the other. when in fact they could understand, well, technically, if I start here, I can just close it out, ship it for customers to use, and then get some feedback and change it on the spot. And then I'll go to another key component, independent component. Choosing how to go about that can change your entire dynamic, not just as an individual, but also as a team. If you have four or five different steps in a feature, and all of you decide to all start with number one, close it as if all of the other four didn't even exist. You ship that, bring it to some sort of staging environment for evaluation or for quick feedback, and then you start with a second feature that is so much better than just not even thinking about it, just going from part one to part five as if they all belonged to a single thing. Break those down and isolate them as much as you can so that you can ship faster and stay productive. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen from. Do you have a question for me to cover? Send it over to podcast@josimoda.net and I'll answer it. Talk to you soon. Make it a great one today.